Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. Please listen for God's word. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager longing to the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope of the creation itself being set free from its bondage. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please bow with me in prayer. God, as heirs with Christ, we are here to worship you. We ask you to open our hearts and our minds to the word that you will share with us, so that it may touch us in so many ways. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Heirs with Christ. Sort of a continuation of what we talked about at breakfast this morning, which was, what is my legacy? Every one of us has been gifted by God in one way or another. Some as parents, some as teachers, some as pastors, doctors, nurses, lawyers, engineers. And there's no comparison from one to the other. Just as with a parent and several children, each of them is different and uniquely gifted. Together, that is what makes a family unit. All of those uniquely gifted individuals coming together and sharing love not only for one another, but also love for God. As heirs with Christ, that is what we have been gifted to do. To gather together as a family unit, uniquely gifted, to worship and to love, and to share our gifts with one another. So if you were to go on a little trip, where would you go to see the greatest treasures of the church? Where would you go to find the church's most valuable heirlooms? In every family unit, at least one of those children becomes the heir apparent. Someone is designated in that way, and it isn't necessarily the oldest child or the youngest or the smartest, but it is the child that has some trait that speaks to their parents and to others that says this one is the most likely to carry on the future of this family. From the moment that heir apparent is recognized, that child is shaped and groomed to step into the shoes that have been worn for many generations. If the heir apparent is lost, the family heirlooms and treasures may be lost as well. Because without an heir apparent, there's no one to ensure that the future of that family lives on. Alexander the Great had a tremendous vision. He was an unprecedented military presence, and he had enough creative energy to stamp his image on all of the civilization in the Near East. But he had no heir apparent, so that young empire died when he did in 323 BC. There was no one left to carry on the legacy that he had created. Are you an heir apparent? When people look at you, do they say, this person can lead us? This person can set an example? And if so, what kind of legacy are you bequeathing to your family, to your community, to this church? This church itself has bequeathed to succeeding traditions, generations, a variety of traditions. So where would you go to find those treasures? You might want to stop at the Louvre, where some of the greatest works of art in the history of humanity are on display. We could spend all day there viewing treasures like Da Vinci's St. John the Baptist or Raphael's St. Michael vanquishing Satan. Or you could go to Rome and the Sistine Chapel to see some of the most influential works in fresco. When you look at Michelangelo's scenes from Genesis on the ceiling, or the scenes from The Last Judgment on the altar wall. You could go to what started out as a private art collection of the Tsars, but is now known as the State Hermitage in St. Petersburg. There in Russia, you would find a number of Rembrandts, one of which is The Return of the Prodigal Son. But is that really what we're looking for when we're talking about heirlooms and treasures? You don't have to go to the Louvre or to the State Museum or to the Sistine Chapel. You can find those treasures right here. You can look around you. Look at your neighbors. Look at the children for the coming generation, or those that are elderly among us as the preceding generation. You can find it in your own community, in your own school, and in your own family. Heirs with Christ right here among us. In Matthew chapter 6, we are told not to store up treasures for ourselves on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And so the next question then is, where is your heart? And I will say it several times during the sermon. Look around you. Open your eyes to the acts of service within this community and within this church, the acts of compassion, the acts of mercy and grace that are being shared by all those who are heirs with Christ. God definitely inspired Michelangelo and Rembrandt, Da Vinci, but we also know for certain that God inspired each and every one of us and gifted us. Perhaps not in that way, but in another way. And in the words of one-time Methodist Vincent van Gogh, Christ is more of an artist than artists. He works in the living spirit and the living flesh. He makes men instead of statues. God is calling the members of this church to be reminded that they are heirs with Christ. You are the greatest treasures. You are the heirlooms. We need to be caring for one another, so that we can leave this legacy for the future generations, that we can move forward. And when this church celebrates its next 275th anniversary, and none of us are here, next in 275 more years, how much is that, Lou? 550? 275 more would be 550. None of us will be here. But hopefully something that we have made a contribution toward will be remembered. Hopefully not just our tombstone etchings from the cemetery. But we can celebrate those heirlooms and treasures among us each and every day, and we should be doing that. Look here as well as above, because that's where the promise is. It's in our children's choir. It's in everything we do in our community. It's at the Strawberry Festival. It's in every Sunday school class we have here, whether it's for children or for adults, because we are leaving something behind for the next group of people. We are celebrating the fact that we are heirs with Christ. Sometimes it's considered a snide expression to say he's quite a piece of work. But God says precisely that about all of us. We are a piece of work. But when the Spirit of God dwells within us, we are God's work. And it is not now a snide expression, but a huge, huge compliment. You want to be doing and saying something each and every day that lets people know that the Spirit of God dwells within you, that you are an heir. The notion that we can be members of God's family, we mere mortals, human beings, have been adopted into the family of God, heirs with Christ. There are so many scripture readings, and I will share some of those with you in a minute, but Christ says that himself of us, I consider you now a friend. I have shared with you everything that the Father has shared with me, and we are doing the same work. So let's be sure we are doing the same work. Let's be sure that when someone looks at us, they say, okay, I see that. I can see that they are Christians. I can see that they are living a legacy and leaving something behind. I had the words for a song this morning for the church breakfast that I wanted to share with you from Nicole Nordeman, and I don't know if anyone's heard it, but I did make sure I bought the CD, and I have it on my iPod. I listen to it almost every day just as a reminder. I want to leave a legacy. Any of the younger folks know that song? You're still a younger folk. That's okay. The words of the song say, I don't mind if you've got something nice to say about me. I enjoy an accolade like the rest. You could take my picture and hang it in a gallery of all the who's and so-and-sos that used to be the best at such and such. I won't lie, it feels nice to see your name in lights. We all need an attaboy or an attagirl. But in the end, I'd like to hang my hat on more besides the temporary trappings of this world. I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough to make a mark on things? I want to leave an offering, a child of mercy and grace, who blessed your name unapologetically, and leave that kind of legacy. It's an accumulating trinket or a treasure pile that will not last, where moth and rust and thieves and such will soon enough destroy. But I want to leave a legacy. I just want to hear, well done, good and faithful one. That's the legacy that we have as heirs of Christ. And you have that opportunity. You have that privilege to cry out, Abba, Father, in the same way that Jesus did. That was his own favorite divine address, and he has given that address to you to use as heirs with Christ. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket, but share it with others so that your good deeds will live on and others will praise your Father in heaven. That's the continuation of that verse. Most of you nodded, you know the first half of that, not to hide your light under a bushel basket. But did you know the second part of that? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That is your inheritance. That is your responsibility. It is a covenant relationship. And if we look to Christ, we can see what his legacy was for us. A legacy of love, a legacy of forgiveness, a legacy of covenant relationship. If you look to the woman who was going to be stoned as an adulteress, there was no lecture, there was no condemnation, there was a reminder that we're all in the same boat. Yes, that's the rule. If you're an adulteress, you should be stoned. So let the one among you who is without sin cast that first stone. What Jesus did for that group was to emphasize the covenant relationship. Forgiveness, love, and grace, not condemnation and judgment. Leave a legacy of good deeds, a legacy of loving service, so that you can leave others praising the Father in heaven. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, but also in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the light of the world. In an earlier portion of today's letter to the Romans, Paul urges the followers of Christ to keep God's Spirit dwelling among them, and he stresses that it is a matter of life and death. Well, part of being a faithful disciple is to remember that you have daily choices. You can follow or you can run. Sometimes we follow and run at the same time. We're not necessarily saints or sinners. We are saints and sinners, both at the same time. So let's keep making the right choice and walking the right path so that we continue to treat one another as fellow heirs with Christ. We honor the legacy we have been given and leave it even better for the next generation to come. Namaste is an Indian greeting. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. I have. I've learned it actually from one of my patients. And in that greeting is interpreted as the spirit in me honors the spirit in you. It is a greeting where they just join their hands and bow. Nothing else needs to be said. That symbolizes to them that the spirit in me recognizes and honors the spirit in you. And here's the quote that I mentioned earlier from Jesus. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This I command you, that you love one another. How do we love one another? How do we demonstrate to others that we are heirs with Christ? Even in the book of Daniel, there is a quote that says, those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. As you pass by people this week, offer a silent prayer of encouragement for them so that each may grow not only as heirs with Christ, but as an heir apparent who wants to leave a legacy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.